You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
I found out that I sure could. Scattered words and empty thoughts seem to pour from my heart. I've never been so torn before. It seems I don't know where to start, Lord, but it's now that I feel Your grace fall like rain from every fingertip of God, washing away my pain. 'Cause I still believe in Your faithfulness, and I still believe in Your truth, oh Lord, and I still believe in Your holy word, even when I can't. I still believe. Though I still have questions that fog my mind, promises I still feel, even when answers are slowly coming, I know it's my heart You're prepared. Still now I feel Your grace all I bring, from every fingertip of God, washing away my pain. 'Cause I still believe in Your faithfulness, believe in Your truth, and I still believe in Your holy word, even when I can't see, I still believe, and the only place I can go into Your arms, where I know You hear my feeble prayer. In brokenness I see You're preparing my heart, and I need to know that You're near. I still believe in Your faith. In Your truth, and oh Lord God, I still believe in Your holy word. Even when I can't see, I still believe. I still believe in Your faithfulness, Lord. I still believe in Your truth, and oh God, I still believe in Your holy word. Yes, even when I don't see, I still believe. Oh, I still believe. Still believe. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Good song. God is faithful. Believe me. Tonight I want to talk to you about jailhouse religion. I want you to turn with me to the book of Philemon. Now, Philemon has one chapter. Philemon is right before the book of Hebrews. It's kind of hard to find, but Hebrews is a little easier to find, and so get to Hebrews and then go backward to Philemon. Now, for years, I pronounced this guy's name Philemon. Since I've never met him, it could have been that. I don't know. Just everybody else said Philemon. The term jailhouse religion, I've heard for years and years and years. That's right. You can't turn to Philemon without a Bible, can you? If you'd like to have one, would you lift your hand up? We got Bible people coming. Keep it up and we'll get you a Bible. And let me say this about the Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, just keep that one as a gift from the rec room. Would you do that? Amen. We'd love for you to have it. Now that you've got a Bible, find Hebrews. That's in the New Testament. He's talking about Old Testament Jews and the New Testament. I'll get you so confused in a minute then. I don't know where to go. Philemon. This thing of jailhouse religion. There's two different slants on this. Because we have people, and for many years when we went into prison, I started going into prison in January of 1985. And we did that, I guess, till about 2005, maybe. But I never went into prison that I didn't meet at least one person who said, I thank God that I went to prison. Now, the first time I heard a guy say that, it was at Big Spring. I just started, and this fellow was leaving. He was from Louisiana, and he'd been in the Bible class, and he got up to tell everybody bye. He said, I'd just like to say goodbye to everybody. And he said, he started talking about how thankful he was for being in prison. And I'm wondering that if they hadn't sent that guy to the wrong building in Big Spring, because we had a mental hospital over there too. And I thought, who would ever thank God for coming to a place like this? And then I began to understand, as more and more did that, that lives were saved sometime physically, sometime spiritually, sometime both, in the prison experience. But we have people in jail or prison who want a Bible. Now, sometimes they want a Bible to keep addresses in. Sometimes they want a Bible to read. Back when we had smoking at the jail, many of them liked the paper to roll cigarettes in. They could roll in and bugler. And when I caught on to that, being a nice guy, the damn fellow said, Leland, I need a Bible. I said, you want to smoke it or read it? But some people are in earnest, and as you well know, some people aren't. You can tell that after they get out a while. My grandson, who's down in state jail in Beaumont, I keep getting letters from him, and I'm glad he's writing. I'm not putting him down. I'm really not. I love him. I probably would have shot him if he'd stayed out in Odessa, so it's a good thing he's down there. But he keeps telling me how good he's going to do. And I keep telling him, in fact, he said, Papa, I'll be out in October. And I said, well, then we'll know in October 2012 how you're doing spiritually, won't we? Hey. Give you a while to see whether you're going to walk a walk or just talk the talk. And all of y'all are familiar with this. And may I say this, this is not just limited to jail or prison. It happens in churches. Years ago, we used to have in the old revival time, we had Brush Arbor meetings. I cannot believe it. It'd be during the summer. It'd be hot. They'd be flies. And they, I turned an old Brush Arbor and the preaching, and I'm going to tell you, them old-fashioned preachers didn't preach 25, 35 minutes. I mean, they come stay a while. And they would preach. And I remember this. All of the farmers come in. They usually would have it right after harvest so everybody could get in. The crops were put up. And they told me about this fellow that man, he came down the aisle and he'd say, "Oh, God," he'd get at the altar, "Oh, God, fill me. Oh, Lord, fill me." And the revival time would be over, and sometime it lasted 2 or 3 weeks, but it'd be over, and he went back to his drinking and his gambling and all of that. And the next year, when they had the old Brush Arbor revival meeting, that first night, here he come down that aisle weeping, saying, "Oh, Lord, fill me. Oh, Lord, fill me." And this went on about 4 or 5 years. And finally, one old guy in back, he came down and said, "Oh, Lord, fill me." And the guy jumped up in the back and said, "Don't do it, God, he's got a leak." A lot of us got leaks. We don't do too good sometimes. But you can find out. But that's where the term jailhouse religion comes from. Now, the book of Philemon is exactly about jailhouse religion. They're just, like I say, one chapter, three characters. There's Philemon, who is a friend of Paul's. That's who the book is written to. He was a close friend of Paul's. In fact, if you look at the little book, and we're not going to read through the book, but we're going to pick out some verses, only 25 verses in it. But in verse 22, Paul says, "But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." Paul was hoping to parole out to Philemon. And he said, "That's the way I want to come when I get out." Paul is in a Roman prison. And the Roman prison would make Texas prisons look like the Hilton. And that's two of the three characters. The third character was a man by the name of Onesimus. But first, let's get introduced to Philemon. Evidently, he was some kind of wealthy, or somewhat wealthy, because in verse 16... Well, in verse 15, he says, "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever." Let me give you just a little background story. Onesimus had been a servant to Philemon. And he'd run off, evidently. And I don't know what he did to get thrown in prison, but Paul meets him in prison, and of all, you talk about being a small world, here is one of Paul's best friends out there, and here's the guy that was his servant. And Paul gets to lead him to the Lord. And so Paul said that, "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season," in verse 15, "that thou shouldst receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord?" He'll be a better employee. See, a person gets saved, he's a better employee. Person gets saved, he's a better employer. Person gets saved, he's a better husband. Person gets saved, she's a better wife. Person gets saved, they're a better neighbor. See, it's if nothing else, my life has been great. If I'm totally wrong tonight, my wife still got a better husband because of Jesus Christ. And if you think I'm lying to you, ask my previous wives. Hey, I can prove that. Hey, I'm a better neighbor because of Jesus Christ. I was a better son after I got saved. I was a better daddy after I began to live for the Lord. And he said he'll make you a better servant. Now, let me say something about this. Constantly people want to put down Jesus Christ. people do not like Jesus. Just they're saying today, just like they did, we'll not have this man rule over us. And many of those people translate the Bible, of all things. And they change the word servant to a slave. Do you know the difference? Well, boy, that servant does, and that slave does. See, you choose to be a servant. You don't have any choice as a slave. Time and again, in the Bible, it calls Christ's servants slaves. Why would you do that? God's people have no slaves. Jesus Christ had no slaves. What do you think of that, Philemon? Go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6, if you would, for a moment. Romans chapter 6, back to the left, and notice this, beginning in verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience, or of obedience unto righteousness. You'd be a servant to sin or you'd be a servant to righteousness, but it's your choice. Slaves don't have a choice. The word is servant. He said, being made free then from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. In verse 18. Verse 19, he said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Servant. God does not want slaves. He wants somebody who would love him and dedicate themselves to him. That's why he didn't make you and I robots. So, it's amazing. The word servant is changed to slave 27 times in the New Testament in the New Age Bibles. Now, don't tell me that these people are innocent. Want to make Christianity look like it's bad, look like that you're under total control. Let me tell you what. I'd rather commit myself to Jesus Christ than anybody I know. I really had. Nobody ever died for me. Nobody ever offered to die for me. Nobody went to Calvary for me. So we're not servants. I mean, we're not slaves. We're servants. And this man, Onesimus, was a servant to Philemon. Philemon obviously was a Christian man. Now, Paul, and I like this, in this little short book, the first verse says, and the ninth verse says, Paul said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Notice, I mean, when he introduced Paul, he didn't say, I'm a prisoner of the Roman government. And by the way, Paul was in prison and they didn't know what to charge him with. Now, we've never had that problem, have we? If they didn't charge us with this, they'd charge us with that because we've done both of them. But they can't find out what to charge Paul with. They picked him up to protect him, to keep the Jews from killing him. But he said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He's not in there whining and said, this is not right. Y'all ought not do me this way. And Paul was in prison witnessing. He wasn't in there writing writs. He was witnessing people. I never will forget when I first started going to jail. One of the deputies, Christian deputy, told me. He said, Leland, remember one thing. He said, a person can serve Jesus as well incarcerated as they can in the free world. And that is the truth. You can serve God anywhere at any time. While Paul's in prison, he led a man named Onesimus to Christ. We mentioned that earlier. What a small world. But here, he leads him to the Lord. Onesimus was lost, and Paul leads him to Christ. Now then, Paul is writing this letter back to Philemon, and he's acting on Onesimus' behalf. He's talking for Onesimus. Look at verse 17. He said, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him. Talking about Onesimus, he's talking to Philemon. Receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. Who's that remind you of? That's exactly what Jesus did for us. Paul said, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Put it on my bill. This is what Christ did. All of our sins, he said, put them on my tab. I will cover them. And this is what he's telling Philemon. Whatever Onesimus has done, you take him back. Whatever he owes you, I'll pay it. I'll take care of it. If he run out on you, if he stole something from you, whatever it is, I'll cover it for you. That's exactly what Christ did. Now then, Onesimus, who was just a servant, a nobody as it were, in prison like so many people, in prison, locked up throughout our state, throughout our nation. But let me tell you something about Onesimus. He was worth something to Paul, and he was worth something to Jesus Christ. See, there's no such thing as a nobody when it comes to Jesus Christ. The Bible said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, Onesimus is going to have a little challenge, because he's got to go back and face the guy that he ran off from. That's going to take a little courage, isn't it? Take a little grace. Paul said, you know, I could have kept him here and used him, because at this point in time, Paul's an old man. But he said, I wouldn't do it without your permission, Philemon. I'm going to send him back. Y'all need to get this thing right between yourselves also. Took a little grace on everybody's part here. And it always does. All of us, we've got some amends to make. We've got some things in our life that sometimes don't make the present very easy because of the past. I want to draw your attention now to the 15th verse. And if you look on our newsletter, that's since the time we started our newsletter, that's been our verse, as it were. And Paul says this to Philemon, speaking of Onesimus, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Paul didn't say he did. Paul didn't say, now, God worked this out. Paul didn't say that. Paul didn't say that God didn't work it out either. Paul says, perhaps. Think about this, Philemon. Perhaps. Think about this, Onesimus. Perhaps. Perhaps. For such a time as this, all these things took place. I'll give you three things real quick. Number one, perhaps there's reason that you're here tonight. It's not just an accident. How many people have come through Odessa, Clover House, or the parole office, ended up at the rec room and gotten saved? My, we have over 100 every year. And then that's not just somebody that's lifted their hand. That's somebody that has been counseled with and talked with and prayed with and explained and shown in the Bible the plan of salvation by our workers. Perhaps this is the reason you're here. Number two, perhaps you'll have another chance after tonight. Who knows? Number three, perhaps you won't. Perhaps this is your last chance. We never know. Perhaps You're here. You've heard the message. You didn't come to hear about Jesus Christ, maybe. Come to get out of Clover House. You come to get away from some things. You come for 900 other reasons, and we don't care. I don't care why you come. I'm just glad you're here. See, I want you to be here and hear the message, because one thing I know, Bible said, God said His word would not return void. He didn't make one promise about mine, but He did about His. And that's why we keep going to the Bible and talking about the Scripture in the Bible. For perhaps He departed for a season that thou shouldest receive Him forever. A season, a temporary time that comes and goes every year, but that you might receive Him for eternity, forever. You came because you were sent here 90 days, Jackson Street or Dixie, or you were sent back 30 days out here, or they told you at the parole office if you wanted to come here to count as AA meeting, and they didn't serve goodies at the AA meeting, so you chose this one. Doesn't make any difference. Perhaps God is speaking to you tonight. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and you say, Leland, I'm like Onesimus. I've never been saved. If I were to die tonight, I don't have any hope for heaven. There's not a thing I could stand before God and say, here's why you ought to let me in your heaven. If that's your condition tonight, and you want it prayed for, you say, Lynn, I want you to pray for me. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me that I'd be saved. I see your hand. God bless you. I see yours and yours and yours. Yeah, I see them in the back. In the front, thank you. Now let me tell you something. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, and that's what God sees, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We're going to stand with our heads still bowed and our eyes still closed. Charles is going to sing Just As I Am. And I want you to step out and say, I want to be saved. I want somebody to pray for me tonight. I want to be saved. I want to leave here knowing I'm going to heaven. Would you stand? While heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed, stand to your feet. As Charles sings, would you come on the very first verse? I want to leave here going to heaven tonight. Would you come? Come on. Did you mean it? Come on.
But that your blood was shed,
come on,
for me, and that you
just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark lot. Would you come? Come on. Now's the time. You lifted your hand. Now would you come? There'll be somebody down here to pray with you, to show you in the Bible how you know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven this very night. Would you come?
Just
be a conflict in and out. I know you're battling. I know you're arguing right now within yourself. I know that there's even that accusation of being a jailhouse conversion. You can make it real. Charles is going to sing one more verse. I'm going to give you one more opportunity to trust Christ. Perhaps you'll have other opportunities, and perhaps you won't. But why would you take the chance? So I want you on this verse to come and say, I want to be saved. Whatever it takes, I want to be saved. Somebody can show you that Jesus did all the work and you just get to be the recipient of it. One more verse. Come on.
Just as I
come on.
You will receive.
We're through either way. Here's your opportunity.
Come on.
We'll not try to rush you. Just, you keep praying. Father, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you that we've all departed from season and yet you received us forever. Now, Father, I pray that you'd be with those still trying to make a decision. Open up their heart and open up their mind. Father, for those that have already made that decision, thank you for them. Father, for those that need to, would you give them another chance? Would you give them another opportunity? Now we pray that you just go with us through this week. Protect us and watch over us and help us to be what you'd have us to be. Amen. Don't forget, if you need to pick up one of the manuals on What Have I Done, What Will I Do Now, the refreshments are open. Keep the Bible if you need it. If not, let's set it on the back table if you would. You're dismissed. Thank you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 877-381-7356. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.